Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, this is Coach Terrence Wood with the Before You Go Pro Locker Room Show. Thank you to all of you guys that can tune in tonight. And I know especially with some of the weather going on and just different things that people have on their plate, it gets difficult to tune in every week. But keep in mind, we also have our archived links of the Locker Room Show as well. Tonight is another hard-hitting content-filled show that we have decided to bring to the athletes tonight. And for those of you who are tuning in for your very first time with the Before You Go Pro Locker Room Show, we always come with content that is relevant to our young athletes' journey to become the best football players they possibly can be. And in our mind, that starts off the field. And that starts with the mentality of learning the tricks of the trade and figuring out a way to stay on the straight and narrow. And all of that bleeds into success on the field. So you are with Before You Go Pro tonight, and we had a couple of great shows last week, and we ended last Thursday with the topic of lights, camera, action. If you guys didn't get a chance to listen to that show, feel free and tune into that one on our archive links. But Lights, Camera, Action was about how the game of college and high school football has now become overexposed to a certain extent and how young athletes have to be ready. And if they are prepared to have cameras in their face and to have reporters asking them questions, that they can actually set up some pretty good opportunities after football for themselves and during football if they're well-spoken and well-prepared. So tonight's topic is an interesting one, and this is one that, you know, it just really varies on who you talk to on where they're at with their timeline. And tonight's show is called The Recruiting Timeline. And the reason why we're bringing this show to everybody is because typically with Before You Go Pro, we get a lot of kids that want to play college football. But unfortunately, by the time we get to them sometimes, there's been opportunities that have already been passed. There are things that might not be in their back pocket, that they need in their back pocket to receive a scholarship. And there's just a lot of questions upon the fact on whether or not I am college eligible and college ready. So the reason why we came with tonight's show, The Recruiting Timeline, is because I think if you're prepared and you're ready, you don't have to get ready. You know, if you already know the pitch that's coming, then you don't have to get ready for it and wait on it. You can knock it right out of the park. So this is very, very easy. Unfortunately, this is something that is a lot easier the younger you get hip to it. So when I say the younger you get hip to it, I'm talking about if you know what you need to have in place to be eligible and ready to receive a scholarship your senior year in high school, and you get started on that early, then things are going to be a lot easier for you in the long run. for some kids that get started later, whether it's their sophomore or junior year, starting to pay attention to if they have their things in place to receive a scholarship. It may be a lot of work ahead of them, or they may already be too late. So with your recruiting timeline, young kids, you always want to be on the forefront of things. You always want to have all your ducks in order early on. And I like to start talking to young athletes, young football players, about their recruiting timeline after their eighth grade year. So after their eighth grade time playing Little League football, whether that's in Los Angeles, California, or in Houston, Texas, after they play their last game at eighth grade, I want to start talking about the recruiting timeline. If your kid is saying, Mom, Dad, I want to play college ball one day, and it doesn't have to be Division I-A on TV, but they know that one day they would like to play college ball, then Mom and Dad, this is something that we got to start looking at as they go into high school their freshman year. And I'm going to let you guys know why that is as we go along with tonight's show. When I was in school in San Francisco, California, I had a father that was pretty dialed in as far as the recruiting timeline and how things worked. And to be truthful with you, I wanted to play in college so bad that the recruiting timeline and my progress was something that I obsessed over. And at certain points in my life, maybe a little bit too much. But it was something where I always knew where I was at. I was always looking at what other kids my age were doing and getting. And I was always looking at who had what I wanted to have one day. So if there were other kids in the San Francisco Bay Area that I saw receiving scholarship offers, I wanted to know what were they doing. What did they have in place that I needed to have in place so that I could receive mine? And that goes on the field and off the field. So tonight we'll talk about some of the things like grades. We'll talk about some of the things like test scores and also relationships, because I think the best opportunities, and we think the best opportunities at Before You Go Pro come to the kids who have the best managed relationships. So we'll talk about that as well. One thing that you guys always got to keep in mind is that when you're talking about dreams, when you're talking about receiving something as large as a college football scholarship, those are things that come with a lot of work, a lot of hard effort, a lot of intent, and then also some good fortune and prayer. And a lot of times things that happen that are large, you guys, they don't always happen in our timing. So what we're going to talk about tonight is the average recruiting timeline. But also, you guys know as well as I do, there's a lot of different ways to get from point A to point B. There's the straightforward way, which we all love to take, but we all don't get afforded that opportunity sometimes. So there's the straightforward way to get from point A to point B, and then there's also the way where you're jumping over hurdles and ducking over obstacles. So, you know, keep that in mind as I talk about, you know, the recruiting timeline tonight. So, you know, let's get started. Once again, you want to really start looking at what you need to be successful when you get into high school your freshman year. And really, you guys, to be honest with you, it starts before you even get into high school your freshman year, because the first thing you have to do is decide where you're going to go to high school. Go to high school has a lot, trust me, a lot to do with where you end up after high school. And it's unfortunate, but there are certain high schools, you guys, across the country, and we can speak candid in the locker room, but there are certain high schools across the country that don't do the best job of setting their kids up for success and opportunity once they graduate and leave those high school doors. But there's always two ends of the spectrum, and there are other high schools that are fabulous absolutely fabulous and great to put kids in the great position to go to college, and a lot of them receive college scholarships, whether that's athletic or academic. There are schools that will put you in position for that. So when you guys look at your timeline to receive a college scholarship one day, it really starts with the decision on where I'm going to high school. And we all know that some kids are have more opportunity as far as that decision goes, whether it's where they live or maybe the financial means of their family, where they can have more options as far as where they want to go to school. And others of us don't. Others of us, it's where I live. I know I'm going to a public school, and that's where I got to go, coach. Which, you may have a little bit of a tougher road, but that's why we have things like Before You Go Pro, and that's why we're going to talk tonight about some of the resources and things that you need available that you need to reach out for so that you can get to your goal regardless, in spite of. So that is where we're going, and when you look at when you walk through those doors freshman year, it's obviously going to be overwhelming. Now, there's some kids that are older on this call or some parents that are older on this show tonight that may say, okay, well, my kid's not a freshman, my kid's a junior. And we will definitely cover that as well because it changes the later you get in the ball game as far as your recruiting timeline. So if I'm a freshman walking into the doors of my brand-new high school and maybe I'm seeing kids that I already know, neighborhood, or maybe I'm seeing kids that I don't know, and this is my first time ever meeting some of these people. When you walk through that door freshman year, you have to click in that now the clock is ticking, that now I have to really be mindful of, am I doing the right things? Am I meeting the right people? Am I cultivating the right relationships? And am I taking the right courses? Many kids go to schools and they just pick any old course to take academically, and they find out in the long run that they didn't even take the right courses. They may have taken the right courses to graduate, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be eligible to receive a college football scholarship. So there is a perfect tool for anybody who wants to use this tool, for anybody who wants to make sure they're on the right track. There's a perfect tool, and it's the NCAA Clearinghouse. The NCAA Clearinghouse is going to be the thing that you always need to keep in mind, the thing that you always need to pay attention to see if you got all your ducks in order. The NCAA Clearinghouse decides who is eligible and who is not eligible, you guys, to receive a college football scholarship, to sign a national letter of intent. Last week we had National Signing Day. All those kids that you guys saw on ESPN and heard about on the radio and in the newspaper, those were kids who were cleared by the NCAA. And what happens is, and I've worked with plenty of kids now and gotten a lot of kids off to college, and Before You Go Pro, that is our mission, to see you guys go off to college. So this is our business. And when we have looked at getting kids off to certain schools in the past, one of the first things that these coaches want to know, you guys, is, are you NCAA eligible? Now, if you're a phenom talent and you get offered a scholarship at a young age, and once again, we're talking about the average recruiting timeline, but there are some that are on the super fast track, and there are some that are on the grandma slow pace. And we'll talk about everything in between, but on this show, we're going to talk about the average. When you get offered a scholarship, it's usually going to take place in your junior or senior year on average. And one of the first things the coach from that college is going to want to know, you guys, is how are your grades and are you NCAA cleared? Have you registered with the clearinghouse? So you can go to the Clearinghouse website, and they'll give you all the information. It's right there, and I recommend that people do it sooner than later if they're really interested in getting a college football scholarship. Once again, if you're doing this after your junior year, your senior year, you're really on the late train as far as the NCAA Clearinghouse, and I would do this tonight if you're listening to this show and you're a prospective college football player that has not been cleared as a junior or senior in high school. So they're going to wonder if you're eligible. If you're not eligible and you're good enough, they may stick around. If you're not eligible and you're a fringe player, you're kind of on the bubble as far as talent, they may move on to somebody else. And that's a shame because that would be your scholarship opportunity lost. So one of the first things when you walk through those doors as a freshman in high school, you know, you need to seek out your academic advisor, the counselors on campus. In some schools, they're a lot easier to find than others, and that's unfortunate, but it's true. Some schools, the counselors will be in your face, ready to work with you guys. In other schools, it's like finding Where's Waldo. But at least you know this is something that you need to do as soon as you walk through those doors your freshman year. And any time after that, if you're a sophomore, junior, senior, you haven't got with your counselor, do it tomorrow. So you're getting with your counselor, you're checking out the NCAA Clearinghouse website, you're checking out to see what your counselor knows about the NCAA Clearinghouse. Once again, some schools will be a lot more well-versed on it than others. But you're finding out what courses you need to take so that you can be on track. Now, there's 16 core courses, and what core courses are, you guys, are courses like English, math, natural or physical science, social studies, foreign language. For you to receive that college scholarship to Oklahoma and play for the Sooners, or if some of you guys watched the national championship and you saw Florida State and Auburn play, if you want to play on that stage one day, you got to make sure you take 16 core courses and 4 years of high school, or else you're dreaming. It's 1 + 1 = 2. You know, so the NCAA is not going to let anybody slide on that. And you need to be starting to take these courses your freshman year in high school. So you're getting to take your courses your freshman year in high school. And the other thing that you need to do alongside of that or right after that, if you're staying on track, is start to develop relationships with your coaching staff. Obviously, you may be playing freshman or JV coach football and not varsity, but start to develop relationships with all of your coaches. So they know that you're a great kid and you're a great kid that may be college bound one day. Obviously, you're going to want to work hard on the field and get after it on the field and make a contribution on the field. Then I want you guys to start building a list of the top 20 schools that you want to go to. And use your imagination, you know, whether you've been watching a school on College Football Saturdays, whether it was your brother who attended Notre Dame or your dad attended USC, whatever your top 20 schools are that you can think of, start writing down those schools, doing some research, you know, reaching out to see if you can get brochures, reaching out and looking at what's going on online, on the social networking with these schools, you know, the type of kids they do offer scholarships to. You can never start this process too early, you guys. Trust me, you can never start this process too early. So then we move on to your sophomore year. In your sophomore year, you need to evaluate your core courses. You know, the courses that you took your freshman year, did you pass those classes? Did you pass the classes with the grades that you need to receive a scholarship one day? A D is not going to count with the NCAA. A D is not going to do anything, you guys, for Alabama if they want to recruit you. You want to strive for B's and A's, and if you get some C's, you may want to evaluate whether or not you're going to take that course again in summer school. And definitely any D's, God forbid any S, but definitely any D's will have to be taken in summer school so that you can stay on track to receive your scholarship. So when you're looking at your sophomore year and you're walking back through those high school doors to start your sophomore year, you've already have to evaluate what you did as a freshman and then make sure that you got four to six more core courses that you're going to take for your sophomore year to stay on track. If you get an A+ in swimming, that does nothing for you as far as the NCAA. It will pull up your grade point average for your school, and, you know, people will give you a high five on it, but it does nothing for you as far as being clearinghouse eligible to receive a scholarship one day. So keep that in mind. You know, it's always nice to have easier classes sometimes, but well, why take them if they're not going to do anything for you? Once again, continue. You're in your sophomore year now. You want to continue to baby and nurture your relationships with your academic counselors and also your coaching staff. People promote and people give thumbs up to people they like. So if a college comes asking about you one day and you're at school in Arizona, and now all of a sudden a school like Florida wants to come across the country to ask about you, you want people to say good things because it's going to go a long way for you. So continue to nurture those relationships. And that is your sophomore year, and you already have a list of 20 schools that you are looking at. On your sophomore year, I want you to at least take 5 unofficial visits. So in the off season of the football season, you should be trying to drive up to a Cal Berkeley if you're in Sacramento, or maybe go up to a Eugene, Oregon when you live in Portland, or, you know, go up to a South Bend, Indiana and visit Notre Dame. You want to just, and if you can meet the coaches when you're there, you definitely want to take that opportunity. But if anything, you want to get a feel for the university where you can walk around, you can see how things work, you can see if it feels right for you. If you're doing this thing your sophomore year, if you're taking unofficial visits and driving places or flying places with your family your sophomore year, then you're definitely ahead of the game. If you're a young man that might not have the means or the family backing to do that, then do as much online research as you possibly can and know the schools back and forth as far as online research. With some of the online tools today, you can take a virtual tour, listen to testimonials, and get a feel for the whole university before you ever step on campus. So really take that opportunity to research those 20 schools that you had written down and try to get a feel for the university and maybe even take an unofficial visit to 5 schools if you can. Then you want to send letters of recommendation where you can send a letter to the coaching staff, send a letter to the athletic department and say that you're interested in their university and you're requesting more information, if anything. You would love more information about their university. Once again, you guys, you can never get started on your recruiting timeline too early. Never too early. The kids who have gotten started with this process very young, like I said, eighth grader going into a freshman year of high school, are kids that I've always seen get what they wanted in the long run. You know, once again, we're to a certain degree, we're obsessing over what we want to accomplish. And sometimes it takes that to really achieve something big. There are not six-figure scholarships to university. We got one kid out of Texas who possibly is going to sign a $28,000 a year scholarship shortly. He's going to take a trip to this school very soon with his family. Those are something that those type of opportunities do not fall out of the sky. Those are opportunities that you have when your stuff is in order, both on the field and off the field. You know, you think about a doctor. A doctor, and I've had 4 kids. Me and my wife have 4 beautiful kids at the house. But a doctor is going to manage somebody who is pregnant all throughout the pregnancy. even before the baby's born, they know how much weight the mother should be gaining. After the baby's born, they know how much weight the child should be gaining as the months and years roll along. If the weight isn't right or something isn't right, then sometimes it's alert time. You know, there's the perfect timeline, which is rare. You know, the kid that just breezes through recruiting and is recruited since his freshman or sophomore year and things go perfect. And then there's also the extended timeline and everything in between. And, you know, when you look at a timeline, you guys should have a feel for how it typically should go. And that's all we're given tonight is hey, this is the progression on a typical timeline, a typical recruiting progression. But there are times where you guys are going to look to the side possibly and see somebody that is getting something a little bit earlier. Or some of you guys may have to go the junior college route or the prep school route and get something a little bit later. And the bottom line is you get to your dream, but there is a typical progression to how this thing goes. You know, gymnasts know that if I'm 26 years old and I'm a gymnast, then I probably, to a certain extent, I've passed my wonder years, my great years, if I'm a gymnast and I'm trying to become an Olympic gymnast. I looked this up. From 1972 to 2012, the average age for a gymnast that won the all-around competition, and as you guys know, Gabby Douglas won that one in 2012, but the average age was 16 to 17. So this is something that's obviously for the women. This is something that these girls know when their peak time is. They know when they're peaking and their timeline is progressing that they're going to be in the Olympics in their prime of 16 to 17 years of age. And with your recruiting timeline, you should be able to constantly look at where you're at with your core courses, with your play on the field, with the recruiting responses or lack thereof that you've received, where you're at on your timeline as far as average, fast, or slow. And as parents, that's all we want to know is, hey, is our kid on track? Is he average? Is he fast? Or is he slow? So once again, you know, you've got your 20 schools your sophomore year, and you've already taken a trip to five of them unofficially. Official trip is when you foot the bill, when you pay for it. An official trip is when the school pays for it, and we'll talk a little bit about that here shortly. So you've taken your unofficial trips. You are researching schools and sending out letters. You should be on the varsity football team your sophomore year, or you should be a pretty darn good contributor on the junior varsity team. You should be one of their top five players, top six players, unless you're just at an exceptionally high-level school, like some of the school in Tyler, Texas, or Long Beach Poly. You may be top eight and still be in good position, but you typically want to be in the top four, top five on your team if you're a sophomore on junior varsity. So I'm either on varsity as a sophomore or on junior varsity as a high contributor. I'm building my relationships with my academic counselors and my coach. And then also I'm always evaluating my core course curriculum. At the end of your season, you want to start looking at attending off-season camps and combines. Combines are things like the Nike Combine, the Sparks Combine, Nike Sparks, and Under Armour. Those are things where you can start to get attention and start to get schools, you know, noticing who you are and also getting ranked. Everybody gets ranked. That is a pretty high prospect nowadays. So you can start to do those things after your sophomore year of high school. You also might want to start looking at some camps, some of the university-affiliated camps, the college-affiliated camps. So schools like the University of Colorado, where I went, or UCLA, Stanford, Florida, these are schools that always throw their own summer camps where you can attend the camps, You can actually even live on campus in the dorms, get a feel for the dorms, and then you have football practice with their coaching staff during the day. And that's a fabulous opportunity for you to catch some eyeballs right there on a school's university. When I was a sophomore, after my sophomore year at Reardon High School going into my junior year, I went to University of Cal and went to their football camp. So, you know, you always want to find a way to attract as much attention as you possibly can. Of course, you want to do it on your home field in the fall, but keep in mind the opportunities that are available to you in the spring and then also in the summertime. So you're going to start that type of thing your sophomore year when you're on a standard, typical recruiting timeline. Your junior year, you should already have about 8 to 12 core courses under your belt. You want to continue to evaluate your core course curriculum and your production with your counselor. I went to summer school after my junior year because there was a C-minus that I had, it might have been a D, but we'll say a C minus today, that was on my report card, and it was going to mess me up with the NCAA clearinghouse. So I wanted to go to Oregon camp after my junior year in high school, and my dad caught the issue and said, no, you can't go to Oregon camp because if you do, you're going to be ineligible to receive any scholarship that you do get your senior year. You know, so you have to go to summer school so that we can fix that grade and make sure that you're still on track with your recruiting timeline. So once again, you're always evaluating, you guys. I cannot stress this enough. You're always evaluating your core course curriculum. If you have not looked at this already and you're a junior or senior, please, tomorrow, get in with your academic advisor. Look on the NCAA Clearinghouse website. Do whatever you have to do to figure out if you're on track. Call us at beforeyougopro.com, area code 510-969-2947. We would love to talk to you about it. Your junior year, you should be a varsity starter, and you want to be a playmaker on football your junior year. Now, some of you guys may go to a Division I-A school, and some of you guys may go Division II, Division III, or NAIA, but you still want to be a varsity starter to put yourself on a good, typical recruiting timeline status as a junior in high school. You want to be a starter. By then, you should be narrowing your college list. The list that you started out with 20 schools, you should be narrowing that list to 15. You want to label the 15, five of them being above-reach schools. And when I say above-reach, these are schools that are maybe tough to get into academically or that they just have exceptional talent on their football team, and you know it would be kind of tough for you to get into one of those schools. So five above-reach, so to speak, schools. Five good fit schools, where maybe Division I AA school or a lower level Division I-A school, and then five Plan B schools. So this may be your Division II, Division III, NAIA, or maybe even a junior college for some of you guys. Five Plan B schools. After your junior year in high school, you want to start developing your highlight film. If you have not done this already, some of you guys are on a faster pace once again, but if you haven't done it already, you want to start to develop your highlight film. And we'll distribute that to those 15 schools that we were talking about before. You want to take the SAT and the ACT. These are tests that you have to have done for the NCAA Clearinghouse to approve you to receive a college scholarship. So you have your grades, and hopefully you're doing great with your grades in class, but you also have to marry that up, you guys, with your SAT, which is primarily taken on the West Coast, or your ACT, which is primarily taken on the East Coast. You do have to pay for the NCAA Clearinghouse registration. It's a one-time, $50 fee, mom and dad. It's a $50 fee. If that is steep in the household budget, you can apply for a waiver through their website where maybe you show some financials. I don't know all that it entails, but you can get that fee waived. Your junior year, you're taking the SAT and ACT, or ACT. Both are roughly about $50. It's $49 for the SAT. The ACT is $34 without writing, but typically you're going to want to take it with the writing because writing is standard for the clearinghouse. And with the writing, the ACT is $49.50. So you're looking at $50 for both tests. Hopefully you only have to take it once, but you may have to take it again if you don't get the grade that you want. The NCAA provides a sliding scale, and you have to match your core GPA with a particular SAT or ACT score to become clearinghouse eligible to receive a scholarship. Currently, just to give you guys an example for those that don't know, if you have a 2.0 in your core courses, once again, this is not dodgeball and swimming. This is math, science, foreign language, those type of courses. If you have a 2.0, then you have to get a 1020 on your SAT, and you have to get an 86 on your ACT for you to be eligible to play college football as a freshman. Those requirements will be raising in 2016. So next year is the class of 2015. Any of you guys who are sophomores or freshmen, the standards will raise by the time you graduate. Instead of a 2.0 to be eligible to receive a college scholarship, you will need a 2.3. Instead of a 1020 on the SAT, you will need a 1080. Instead of an 86 on the ACT, you will need a 93. So the colleges are raising the bar. They want kids that are well-rounded, kids that are paying attention in class and taking it serious as far as academics. So they'll be raising the standards in 2016. But these are things that you guys have to pay attention. It's not just what you do on the football field, it's also having the academics in order as well. So after your junior year, you're going to continue to attend some of the different combines, camps. You look at some of the 7-on-7 tournaments. There's 7-on-7 tournaments as far as the circuit, which is kind of like AAU basketball, where there's sponsored teams and guys get together from various high schools across the region and compete on one team, like an all-star team. So there's 7-on-7 circuits that can garner you a lot of respect and attention from colleges. And then there's also your individual team 7-on-7 competitions where you guys will compete against other high schools throughout the area in the off-season. And you have to manage that with your high school coach. You don't want to burn any bridges with your high school coach where you're attending maybe one of the circuit 7-on-7s in the spring, but you're not attending your team 7-on-7 and it develops an issue with your coach. You don't want any issues with your coach because 9 times out of 10, they're going to ask him about you before they offer you a scholarship. So once again, when you're a junior and you're on a recruiting timeline that is typical, you are evaluating your core courses. You have about 8 to 12 of them already done at the beginning of your junior year. You've taken the SAT, ACT at the beginning of your junior year or midway through. You've become a varsity starter and a playmaker. You've narrowed down your college prospects to about 15 schools, 5 above reach, 5 good fit, 5 Plan B schools. You've developed your high school highlight film, and you're starting to distribute it to those 15 schools. You've increased your dialogue with your high school coach. So it is imperative that your coach knows your aspirations. He knows that you do want to play in college football. High school coaches get questionnaires about kids on their team and kids on other teams, and the questionnaires ask them, who do you think wants to play college football? You want to make sure that you're on that list. So increase the dialogue with your coach, where he knows that you want to play college ball, and then once again, you're attending 7-on-7s, camps, combines, and that sort of thing. Your senior year is the send-off, you guys. Your senior year is where you reap the benefits of all the hard work. You know, with We're out here in the Bay Area with Before You Go Pro, and I know there's a lot of you guys listening that are not from the Bay Area, but we're out here stationed in the Bay Area, based out of the Bay Area, and we constantly hear about the 49ers and Stanford Cardinals. And obviously Jim Harbaugh, the coach of the 49ers, is largely in part responsible and a major part of the success of the 49ers and Stanford Cardinals. And one of the things that he talks about, and I know a lot of other great coaches talk about, you guys, is the process. The process is the day-to-day tedious things, sometimes mundane things, that you have to go through to become who you want to become. The process is the day-to-day between freshman year to senior year. Everybody likes the glitz and glamour of signing day where the kid is putting on his hat and he's got cameras in his face and his girlfriend next to him and his parents behind him and he's deciding where he's going to college. You see the college coaches where he's going cheering, and everybody loves that. Nobody's disputing that. But there's a day-to-day regiment that has to be in place, a day-to-day work ethic, which is the process that makes all that available and a real opportunity and something that you can seize one day. There's the process of you becoming a college football player. There's the process of you becoming a highly sought-after student athlete. And for the good greats in the game of football, they get really, really comfortable and they start to really sink their teeth in and enjoy the process. They relish at the process of what it takes to become great. So you may only be a freshman, and this sounds, you know, everything we're talking about tonight is like, wow, this is a lot that I have to have in place and a lot that I have to keep on my mind to get my scholarship to Florida State one day or my scholarship to Cal Poly. But just keep in mind, if this is a part of the process, and you want to learn to love the process because it's going to make things so much easier for you. Your senior year, you're evaluating everything, making sure that your core courses are in place and that you're qualified with the NCAA clearinghouse. If you have not been qualified with the NCAA clearinghouse by your senior year, you definitely have to press the gas pedal. You have to go now. You have to get online. You have to talk to your advisors. You have to make sure you're taking the right classes. You know, it may be too late, unfortunately. Once again, always feel free to call us. You want to finish strong on the football field, continue having a great relationship with your coaching staff where they know that you're ready and you're willing and you want to play college ball. So have that good communication with your high school coaching staff. You want to sign your letter of intent to where you go. You should know by probably about the second, third game of the year whether or not you're going to get college scholarship and be signing, you know, come February, the first week in February. But a lot of you guys are going to be later signees. We've had some kids sign the Division I schools later than usual. So if you're not hearing from any colleges by that first, second game in your senior year, then you should start to get very active in reaching out to them. Get very active of looking at maybe some of your Plan B schools and really reaching out to them. But the key is going to be the NCAA clearinghouse, you guys. That is going to be the button that you need to press so that you are ready, you are eligible. Once again, this has been the average recruiting timeline. Hopefully you guys have gotten a lot out of tonight's show. Hopefully this answers some questions for some of you guys that may be wondering if you're on track. You can always find out more information and join the Before You Go Pro family at www.beforeyougopro.com. And we would love to have you. We work with kids all the way from eighth grade through junior college, trying to help them achieve their dreams on and off the field. Please also check out our book, which is available on our website. You can order as a paperback or an ebook, and we cannot wait to get that book in your hands as well. So hopefully you guys had a good time tonight. Join in on Thursday night as we bring in a guest to the locker room, and we will definitely See you at the top. Have a good one.